Yeah, I think most of us on the development side have figured this at some point, or customers, you know, software, hardware, it doesn't really matter what it is. At some point, someone says, this would be great if we didn't have any users, didn't have any customers. So, yeah, my name is Jim. I'm team lead for the SUSE Lab Samba team, and Samba team member. Many of you have seen me here before. First, I'd like to know who's in the audience. Of course, I know a bunch of the ruffians over here and there. So I know we have a bunch of developers here. We have some system administrators. Anybody? We have some. Do we have any end users? I mean, no biologists allowed. Get out. No. I live with a biologist. I don't want to deal with biologists. Any consultants? Managers? So you'll have to excuse me if I wander off and start doing some random charts. We've all seen the really simple, dumb thing. So, you know, my parents do this. They write their passwords on the back of something. They password's my name or no, who am I kidding? It's my kids' names. And that's all this list can go on. We all have silly stories we see. Things go wrong. Oh, I never download anything, my dad says all the time. But we're going to get to some more complicated, but not too bad problems. So I found that most of the time, I actually spend more time doing support than development. And I can categorize most of the problems like this by my reaction, a developer's reaction. And one of those is, you know, why would you do that? So I noticed we at least had a customer, but I saw this was on the list a few times. Someone had a Windows server and they were sharing some files to via the SIFS client, and then they were resharing it out by Samba. Okay, really? You really want to do that? Okay, but fine. All right, let's see. What's not working? Well, directories are disappearing. Huh? That doesn't make any sense. Why are directories disappearing? Well, it turns out a decision we made in Samba a long time ago, if a stat call returned zero for the number of links, that it wasn't valid and we didn't really know about the file. Well, it's kind of hard to change that bit. But the end result was the SIFS file system was trying to fix some weird things it was seeing from Windows because, well, in the Windows world, what are the number of links? Well, how it's not a big deal. Well, in the POSIX world, directories pretty much always have at least two links. If you don't have two links, it's probably not a directory. It took a little while to get it right because there are a few cases where you really want some strange things to happen. Delete on close makes everything strange. Well, it turns out there were some reasons that this was being done, depended on who you talk to. In one case, it was about a power struggle. This group controls this machine. This group controls this machine. And, well, the only way we can get this thing we need, shared over to our users. They won't let our users have access, but they say we can let them have access. And we don't really have enough space to just copy everything. And we want it to be up to date. So we just reshare this way. Okay. All right. I acknowledge, I even saw something, he even said it to me. I acknowledge it might be stupid, but it's our best solution. The other one I saw was the hand-waving security. Well, if we route everything through this one machine only, then we can keep an eye on everything that's happening. And so therefore, we will just make sure that no matter what happens, it always goes through this machine. Well, okay. Sometimes those things get handed down from above, and there's not much you can do about it. And a lot of times, that administrator knows it. Another type of problem we've seen is, wow, how did you do that? And this one took me quite a while until I could finally get on and poke on the user's desktop. So he had he tested everything out, seemed great. He connected his XP workstation to the server. Everything was fine. Well, so now the AD admins say, it's all right, you can connect this server to the domain now. So he joins the server to the domain. Now he can't connect to the server. Huh. Well, but I connected another Samba server to another domain, and I can, with my user, to a trusted domain, it works. It's allowed. What's going on? Well, by the way, while he was testing it, first time he connected it, well, it wasn't using his domain credentials, and he had a different password, and it just asked him, do you want me to remember this? Yeah, sure, remember this. And, well, you know, those things are buried somewhere, and every version of Windows has its own place to store it, and whether it's the credentials manager or somewhere deep in user accounts. And so it worked for the trusted server because those credentials were not stored there. And what it turned out, I mean, it became clear looking at the Wireshark traces. Why is a domain name empty on this? I mean, I'm typing it in directly, and it's overriding. No matter what I type, it's overriding it. So, you know, user wasn't so crazy, but it was pretty tough to you know, who's going to remember clicking that one little thing? And then, thank you, Richard, because he introduced this bug to you just a few minutes ago, and he resolved this bug for me. You know, how many people here have seen WinBind chew up all their CPU? Nobody, right? Yeah. So I post this on the list. Anyone seen anything like this? And the first response is, oh, it's probably just another Talloc free. We freed something wrong. Oh, no. It's not that. Well, it looked like we were in some Kerberos code for a while. It took a while because we were just, I couldn't get to the user. I couldn't get to this access to the user system. So after a long time, I figured out that we had this loop in a list. We were constructing a list of all of the WinBind, all of the children for the domains, and somewhere along the line, we added this element again, and it pointed, it already points to the next one. So we had a nice little loop that never ended. And one of the reasons this became difficult to fix is because, well, you know, sometimes you just have to have the right setup. Like Richard said, they got a customer that happened every 15 minutes. Well, I tried to help that very same customer who was not a customer of mine. He's actually a user of somebody else's distribution. But, it was just that I could not have gotten onto the machine. I was debugging this by having to type things into IRC and him typing the commands, and then he had to have someone looking over his shoulder say, no, you can't have that information in there. They had to review everything he typed because he worked for the U.S. government. So just getting this thing, I mean, the funny thing for both Richard's customer and one of my customer and this end user, when we stuck this core dump in to try to gather some information, you fixed it already, great. No, it's not fixed. Well, when it's happening every 15 minutes, that core dump's a big deal. My customer, it was every month or so this would happen. So, for those of you who didn't see the cause of this, it was just a simple little mistake. Guy was trying to save himself some time, cloned a machine, and there's been lots and lots of debates, and from what I can tell, the debate still isn't over between various folks, but Mark Rusinovich of SysInternals fame has said, you know, you really don't end up, there's this idea that you end up with a security problem by duplicating machine SID is just really not true, most of the time. Oh, this was a domain controller, so there's the problem. We had two domains that had the exact same SID. And once we saw that, well, we didn't know what to do with it. So yes, we had a bug, and there's no question we had a bug, but boy, this is just one of those cases where it's just going to be hard sometimes. And was the guy being crazy? No, a little careless, that's about it. Because reality is, how many of us have cloned a machine somewhere and then later found out that we had something set wrong? Or then this is my wife. I will never let them touch my machine again. They're not updating it. This is ridiculous. Every time they touch this, things break. So, sysadmins, you've never had this happen, of course. And your users never call you complaining about it either. So, this one happened a while ago, and that was that Actually, I think that I was the one who wrote this update. But I was doing the right thing. The LDAP backend for past EB, for our standard standalone server or NT-style domain controller, had all the fields for the structures filled out, filled in. Every time the user changed their password, we figured out, okay, this password's going to expire at this time, put those fields in. Well, along comes someone who says, you know, I changed my password policy, but my users who haven't changed their password yet aren't being affected. Okay, well, that's because all we do is we only update that field when the user changes the password. Because, well, it turns out we made way back when, we're talking now 2 decades ago, we made the wrong guess. And turns out most of those fields are calculated. They're not actually generated and stored. So I go to fix this thing for the one user, and a lot of users got really mad at this one because they wanted to individually control, and they had learned on LDAP that they could externally control all of the expiration times. But I did actually witness one of the developers say, no, that can't happen. Let's see. No, he's not in the room. Okay. And then this one happens a lot, but I updated WinBind and my users can't log in anymore. And I did have a developer say, you must have set something up wrong. And ultimately, because somewhere along the line, it was, you should have done something before. Well, in this case, it's still an ongoing thing because sometimes users want to use something that we have done in the past the wrong way. They find it to be comforting or useful. And when you tell the user, you know, you shouldn't have done that, it doesn't usually work out too well for you. So it's more like, oh man, I never thought that that would be a useful thing. I mean, it never even dawned on me. Just that all these customers, all these users would be using these things in the broken way. Well, on the Samba team, we tend to say that Windows is what, you know, who defines what's broken? Well, if it doesn't work like Windows, it's broken. Yeah, but what if it works better than what we have in Windows? I mean, for this user's purpose. How do you solve this problem? Yeah. That's not such a rhetorical question. Yes, that's what I did expect this. Or then there's just this plain old, where'd you get that stupid idea? And I have felt this many times. I hope I've never said it, but I have certainly seen this said many times. Where'd you get that stupid idea? And yeah, sure enough, I was looking at the mailing list, I Googled things and found that you should, well, yeah, no way, an NSCD and Samba don't mix, never, never. Well, you know, or someone turned on a flag somewhere and it solved the problem. They did whatever their little thing was, they changed 18 options, everything works. So now they've posted something somewhere on a wiki page or a blog that says all this stuff is what you have to do to get it to work. And for some reason, it's on the internet. So it must be true. So, yes, I have had direct quotes out of the Samba how-to from 10 years ago that this is how it's supposed to work. Well, we fixed all of those problems, and it doesn't happen anymore because the Samba how-to is completely up to date, right? Yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see John just groaning back there because things change. And all the mistakes that we've made in the past now live out there forever because you can always Google them. So is there something we can do to make this stop? I mean, to just, you know, get some of these things to not happen so much at least. Well, you need to understand why this happens first. You can't just say, oh, I have a solution. Let's just take a look. And the biggest reason we find is that someone just didn't really know. They didn't read the manual. They didn't read the man page. They didn't find it in the man page. They didn't understand the man page. Or it was an undocumented feature that was done by someone for one customer and it got someone looked at the code and posted on it somewhere. Lack of experience is certainly a big thing, like the guy who accidentally cloned the domain and didn't rename the SID. You know, he'll never forget that one. Sometimes we do have the users that start off by saying, "This sucks. You guys suck. This is really stupid. I'm not going to look anything up because it's just work." We get rants very similar to that. Sometimes it's just what we have doesn't match what the user's needing. Like, hey, I really did want to be able to individually change these password expiration times. I really wanted to be able to recursively set a bunch of ACLs. I'm scaring Noel now. Maybe it's just not there. So they do the best they can with what they have, and bad things can happen. And sometimes it's just, well, the policy comes down that you have to have someone looking over your shoulder doing this, or you have to fill out this form, or only the Windows guys get to make any of the decisions about Windows, and you have to have a executive vice president in charge of Fufu to sign off in order to get them to change something, there's only so much you can do about that. The other thing that happens, and this I hear from my wife as well, and Kai, you must experience this sometimes, there's some really strange old hardware, particularly in labs, that use somebody's old SMB client, not Samba's SMB client, but some strange piece of software that has a fixed password or will only do plain text. And then when you say, no, we're not going to support plain text anymore, all of a sudden this, what was a very expensive piece of scientific equipment, doesn't work anymore. So is there anyone who doesn't know this little episode of, or little skit, How Not to Be Seen? Monty Python? Okay. So sure enough, that's a lot of what goes on here is we don't teach each other. We don't write our own documentation. How many of you know a developer who says, "I like to write docs. I like to write down and document what I do"? Liar! Or are you saying you are one? So, of course, I've heard every one of those developers say, "Oh, this sucks, there's no documentation for it." So that's probably the biggest problem that we have, period. Or I get this one as well. The doc says to do this, but I know that's just not right. Everyone knows that. You just Google for the answer because someone else has already solved the problem. So in that case, well, maybe the documentation was wrong at some point, even if we fixed it. Some of the damage has been done there. And when I say don't develop, I don't necessarily mean don't. It's not the sysadmin who doesn't write the code, but maybe the sysadmin's got a workaround. And they just, okay, I fixed the problem for us. I don't care about anything else. Well, you know, if that's great for you, but maybe if someone else had done it, you wouldn't have that problem. Certainly some of this is legitimate because we all have limited time, but the somebody else's problem field works great. If I can look straight at it and I just don't see it. Because I really don't want to work on it. So, but a bigger one that I think most people don't think about is, don't point out the problem. And if you don't point out the problem, if you don't go to the folks who are setting the policies and say, you know what, if you keep doing this, we're exposing everyone's passwords, and then that's a huge security risk. Instead of living with this, we're forced to this plain text passwords because of some weird thing, well, maybe we need to relook at doing this. And you know, they'll say no. They're going to say no. But if you say it enough, they will fix it. So I got this crazy idea. Let's actually teach each other. Let's work. Let's just write the documents. When I say document, I don't just mean write the man pages or write the wiki. I mean write down the bug. Write down that you have, as Jeremy pointed out this morning, a problem with performance that has been bugging you. Actually share this. Open the Bugzilla. Tell us what your test cases are. You don't necessarily have to code to help us out. And it's been wonderful because we have a wonderful guy sitting right over there who is taking on the worst possible job on the, well, he shares, you know, there are two terrible jobs on the Samba team, and Carolyn's not here right now. So Mark? So that's somebody else's problem. So Mark over here in the white Samba, the white old Samba shirt. We need to get him a new Samba shirt. Is what documentation, code, expense reports? So Mark here has joined the team with us to help write and organize the documentation, clean it up, and it is one of the greatest things we can do, because that is where we will fix most of the problems, is just by having people use it right. They don't, for the most part, they don't know it when they're doing something wrong. They just, the information is either not there or is not conveyed in a way that works for them. The other thing that we can do is, so if you are not on the Samba team checking code in, maybe you have a few patches, maybe you have a few scripts, maybe you have just some documentation changes you'd like to have, and maybe you need something that we don't know about. And, well, that's if you actually help us out with that by telling us, well, here's what we need. Not like, when I was back at IBM years ago, it was just, we need an Active Directory domain controller. Well, what do you need? Well, we just need an Active Directory domain controller. So that's not what I mean. I mean, we have, like what we heard this morning from Sven, we have this specific need. And you might be surprised. Someone might go, oh, cool, I want to work on that. Then, though, you do need to help them out. Not necessarily writing code, but helping them with test cases, helping them understand what that need really means. And then, sometimes you just have to be totally insane and, say, go to the corporate lawyers and say, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. And, it doesn't work very often, but sometimes it will. You'd be surprised. What all these things do is, it's about sharing. Oh, I won't sing for you. But I had a few songs come in my head that I thought I should sing. Because it's just great. It's open source. We feel great. Any kind of contribution can help. So open source is not just about the code licensing. It's about the entire community, which means not withholding your little piece of information to make you more valuable, because most of the time it doesn't work that way. Most of the time it doesn't make you more valuable. Most of the time it just makes you get bothered more because people are the ones that know it. Ira. Sure, right, exactly. So it ends up with things like, oh, my little hack here doesn't work anymore because I didn't tell anyone. And now that thing's gone. That function's completely gone. Uh-oh. Maybe if he'd said something, we would at least have considered before we eliminated that interface. So really, it is just about sharing the workload. It's about sharing, not from just the code perspective, but the responsibility of testing things, the responsibility of just pointing out the bugs. And the bugs, my hair, or are you something else? Oh. But we are all in this together in some way, because otherwise you wouldn't be here. That you're here, so while you're here, find us and get to know us, get your questions to us, and maybe we can't answer you right now, but we will later, and then you need to keep working with us for that. I know, it all sounds so easy, but the problem is there are these stupid users. They always do these dumb things. Well, as developers, we have a tendency to say, this is the way the thing is supposed to work. Why don't you understand this? So the developers, we need to just take a moment, breathe, count to 10, and say, okay, what is it you're trying to accomplish? And then you'd be surprised how often developers, that the guy on the other end of the line might listen to you a little better about how it's supposed to work if you don't start off by saying, oh my gosh, did you read the fucking manual? Oh, this is recorded, isn't it? Sorry. And so just take that moment. And it's fine. Turn around, you know, to your fellow developer and say, oh my God, this guy's an idiot. You can do that. That's fine. Because you might need to get that out. But, you know, just take that moment to listen. And, you know, I know we're arrogant because, you know, this conference is all about us, right? But when the user starts off, if you come to one of us and say, your stuff never works, and I've been approached many times, nothing on this works. And how come it's printing? But this never works. This never works. Well, you know, I really don't want to help you if all you do is come up to me and go, this stinks, this sucks. So you can say, this sucks, and here's exactly how. Now, because most of us are pretty thick skins, we're going to listen to your complaints if they're not just whining. If they are accompanied by, here is the exact command I run, or here are the steps I took in doing this, not just, my join never works. Okay, how did you join? My join just never works. Okay, what steps did you take to join? I joined. That happens a lot. So when you're going to provide these things, be prepared. You know, we're going to ask for level 10 debug log or higher sometimes, and usually it's not just about delaying because we know it'll take you some time. It's because we are going to do better having all the information. Sometimes we need the story behind it to find out that you had tested out this server before you joined it to the domain and accidentally filled out this field. That guy was never going to figure it out on his own, and if he hadn't really shared that stuff with me, I would never have found it. Some of the stuff you're not going to fix. Some of the stuff we just have to live along with. Sometimes you're going to have to deal with that stupid corporate policy to some degree. You can bitch at us about your corporate policy. We'll listen to it because we know what it's like. Or many of us know what it's like. We have stupid corporate policies too. And we'll try to help you solve your problem. And just help us help you. Help us to help you. Help us to help you. No. So, anybody here have a short story they'd like to share? About one of us? About somebody else?
Questions? Comments? Stories to tell?
It's okay. I was hoping you wouldn't... because then I can go have a little coffee a little earlier.
Yes, there is. Shorter coffee break?
So the thing I can never figure out how to fix is the voodoo around the socket options in smb.conf.
Ah, yes, very good point.
Hopefully when your documentation is right, that'll get fixed, but there will be still people out there who have smb.confs that they've had from 1993 that have been paid forward through
Absolutely.
Every installation they've ever had. And they will swear blind that having a socket option, you know, send size, receive size, set to 32K is the only thing that will make the performance work.
Yes, and sometimes you're just going to run into that complete jerk that's going to do that. But if we have a place that we feel confident about, at least we can do it with a little more authority. This is the official place. It's pretty hard to get even the Samba developers to agree to say that you can't that you're allowed to run NSCD. We have people who they don't really want to let go of that, even though that's been fixed for 6 years, because it broke. You know, they got burned by it sometimes. So there are things that will never be solved. But when we have well organized documentation, then at least we can go say, look, officially, this is our official statement here. But you won't solve it. They'll still happen. That's life sucks, man. You know, there are people that just happens. And but the lack of good, I mean, we had a document that said that probably at some point.
Yeah, it was probably many, many years ago.
Yeah, and so if rather than just getting rid of it. Maybe we need to document clearly these sorts of things. And when they come in, you say, no, that's our official documentation now. If they don't listen to you, there's not a whole lot you can do. But if you start off with, you stupid ass, why didn't you read something new, then you have no chance of getting them to listen.
Yes, sure.
Yeah, I'd like to share one. I dealt with a company that was based just outside of Chicago. I was still living in Salt Lake City. And it was a rather secure infrastructure, and they definitely did not want to discuss anything over the phone, but Samba performed like a pig. It was running on a Sun Enterprise 20,000, and they had 8,000 client connections to the server. And without any client doing anything, they had over a 30 load factor on the machine. It's a story I like to repeat because it shows the insanity of engineer thinking sometimes. Their SMB.conf file was 276 kilobytes in size. Simply using a test palm to shrink that down. Now, you all know how to use test palm to optimize your SMB.conf file, don't you? You do, don't you? Please, all nod. Okay, how do you do it? I've got everyone.
Run test palm.
Test palm minus whatever the option is. Suck in the contents of your SMB.conf, pipe it back out to the same file, and now all of your comments and all the unnecessary stuff is completely removed and you have a fully optimized SMB.conf file. That's probably true, yes. And without Tolstoy's War and Peace documenting every change made to the SMB.conf file in the last 15 years. But it dropped the size of the SMB.conf file down to under 9K and immediately dropped the load factor to something too low to measure. Please, please do not use SMB.conf as the file in which you document your life, your forefathers' lives, previous generations, and why you wish to assassinate the Samba team. It's not the place to document that.
But please do. I mean, really, this is about not about questions right now. This is about any questions you have for us. It can't be repeated enough. This is your opportunity to talk to us face to face, and we are much more likely to listen to you if we all know how to talk to each other.
Why does somebody run a group that's really going to ask questions of security engineers?
Yeah, why does Samba need to run his root? I think, yeah, Jeremy's probably
that's
the best person.
Actually, I can give a reasonably accurate technical answer to that. It has to run as root because we support multiple user accesses down a single client. So essentially, we have a way of multiplexing. You can have multiple clients logged onto a Windows workstation or a Linux workstation, and each of those users has to be able to... We have to be able to change identity to each of those potential users, possibly on a packet-by-packet basis.
Within a single process.
Within the same process, if the packet is being round-robin. So theoretically, we could spin off a process and say, okay, you're going to be user Joe, you're going to be user Fred, or whatever. But that would actually mean a re-architecting of the code in order to essentially proxy all requests down to a sub-process that's running with restricted attributes. Now, that's actually quite similar to what we're going to need to do for SMB multi-channel. So I'm not saying that won't eventually come, but at the moment, it's essentially much easier to just maintain as root. On Linux, at least, we have the ability to spin off threads that run as specific users, but we generally always have to have that root-level access because For some things like, we sometimes provide overrides. So POSIX semantics aren't Windows semantics. So sometimes in order to provide Windows semantics on top of POSIX, we actually have to basically become root and brute force it.
There's a lot of stuff with ACLs you can't do.
Yeah.
What if you're not using SMP for purely, like in an AD environment, using SMP for just pure AD?
For pure AD, as a pure domain controller, I don't think there's any other than binding to the low sockets. You could probably run that as non-root, force that. Yeah, there might be a way to set that up in some kind of a jailed environment or containered environment to do that. But for file serving, we still kind of need it right now.
We're not crazy. You just have to learn the story behind us. We might be a little odd. So yeah, just keep the questions coming all conference long, and then establish the contacts. You know, let us get our emails, learn our names, and then you know who to contact later. And it really, really helps a lot.
Yeah, and Jim's here for a while, so thank you, Jim.